is beginning to rain, rain, rain to the voice of our Father. Sing, whosoever will come drink of this water. I promise to pour my spirit out on your sons and your daughters. If you're thirsty and dry, look up to the sky. It's beginning to rain.
Hello, friends. This is Tex Mars, inviting you to worship with us today at Bible Home Church, coming to you from Austin, Texas. We want to thank all of you who have written us and been so kind as to encourage us here at Bible Home Church. And we want to invite any of you out there that would like to contact either me, Pastor Tex Mars, or Bible Home Church with your encouragement and certainly your love gifts, because we need your financial help. Without you, we could not stay on the air. We could not do the things we're trying to do for the Lord and promote the Bible Home Church concept around the United States and the world as well. We appreciate hearing from you. You know, even if you can't afford to give a love gift, you can afford to pray. Let us know you're praying for us. That'll be important to us. And if you'd like to be a member of our congregation, that's right, we actually have a membership. And if you're not a member of a local church, we'll be glad to take you on here by your profession of faith in Jesus Christ. If you're a born-again believer and you have no home church, we'd like you to be part of our congregation. You say, well, I don't know how I can be part of a church in another city, really? Well, you know, the church of Jesus Christ is made up of all of those who believe in his name. We're also the bride of Christ. We're the elect. We're the saints. You're part of us. And all we ask is that you do make a profession of faith. And we'll believe you, because God's going to keep the books up there. And you can be part of us. We are sending Bibles and Christian books and literature around the world. And we want you to be a part of that as well. And as you can give, we'd appreciate that. A lot of people say, how much should I give? Well, you know, that's between you and God. Now, there are many pastors who say, oh, well, give 10%. Now, if you're thinking, that's why Tex Mars wants me to join his church, so I'll send him my 10% of everything I make tithes. Now, I'm going to tell you right now, I'm not telling you that. I promise you, that's between you and the Lord. You see, I believe you should be a cheerful giver, and if you can afford $5, $10, $1, $1,000, then you give that. You feel good about it, and I believe God will bless you for your gifts to this ministry. And I promise you, we'll be good stewards of God's money, because that's what it is, really. Everything that we have is God's, so we give a certain part back. But I don't have any particular. I know I could probably take things out of context in the Bible, and certainly it does say to put 10% of everything in God's storehouse. That was in the Old Testament. But I think now we should live by the heart. We have the new covenant of Jesus Christ. It's not that the Old Testament is ineffective. It's certainly not. Believe me, the Ten Commandments are still there and in effect. But I do believe you should do it from the heart. And you know, there's some people that really cannot afford it. They can't afford to give 10% of everything. And of course, there were some pastors who would say you can't afford not to. So... you know, you make that choice on your own. But I'm not here. As you know, you can listen every week. This is probably the first time in months and months that I've mentioned money. I don't think that I have. If so, it was just in passing. But, of course, you know, we do need your help. But we're not going to make this an obsession. Believe me, I'm not going to be here on the air begging for money. You're never going to hear that from me. And let me tell you why. I know that God put me here in this position. And you know what? God had you turn on the radio and listen to this program today. He did. Each of us is in the palm, the hollow of God's hand. And I don't have to implore you to do anything. I simply tell you we have needs. Periodically, it'll be very rarely, And I know you can trust me. And I trust you. So we go from there, my friends. So you probably won't hear me talking about money for a long, long time. But it doesn't mean we don't need it. It just means that I trust God for my provisions. I trust Him to stir your heart. And I hope that these messages, I hope these songs will indeed do that. Now, we're continuing. We didn't get far along last week, and here I am talking about a subject, offerings and tithes, that I didn't really mean to get involved in. So, on the spur of the moment, unplanned. I really believe the Bible almost agrees with that old dictum that, you know, life is what happens while you're making other plans. Sometimes that happens to sermons too, my friends. Well, in any case, we're going to continue with part three of How to Succeed in Life Beyond Your Wildest Dreams. But first, we have the Cathedrals. And a song that I like a lot by George Yance. He's the sort of the ringleader of the wonderful inspirational. He wouldn't like it if he knew I call him a ringleader of the Cathedrals. Real man of God, George Yance. And this song is called Saved, Saved. And I'll be right back after it.
Jesus stepped out on the Galilee shore. A man who was needy cried out to the Lord. Years he'd been bound up in shackles and chains. When Jesus had spoken, the man gladly proclaimed,
I'm saved, saved, wondrously saved. My soul has been rescued from death and the grave.
I'm saved, saved, gracefully saved.
His love now abounds and my spirit set free.
I had dwelt in the tombs of despair. To live or to die, at times didn't care. My life lay in ruin, my heart wrapped in sin. I met the Savior and my new life began.
I'm saved, saved, wondrously saved. My soul has been rescued from death and the grave.
Sevenfold plan of success. That's what we've been talking about the last couple of weeks as part of our sermon series, How to Succeed in Life Beyond Your Wildest Dreams. Well, we've finished parts one and two, and now we're going into part three of our series. And it's very interesting that we've covered four of the seven key words that I told you we would examine. The first word was praise. Give praise to the Lord. The second, thanks. Give thanks to the Lord. The third, fear. Yes, fear the Lord. And fourth in our sevenfold plan is trust. Trust the Lord. Well, today we're going to add a fifth word and sixth and seventh, hopefully. If not, we'll continue next week. And I give you the word today, the fifth word in our sevenfold plan of success, and that word is love. Love. You know, in Luke chapter 10, verse 25 through 28, is, I think, one of the most important statements that Jesus made. And you know, this is so typical of Jesus, and some people would say it's not profound, but I just wonder if this is not the most profound thing, because it's commonsensical to expect this of God, but I believe there's even a deeper meaning than we can imagine. Let me read it to you. The scriptures say, "And behold, a certain lawyer stood up and tempted him, saying, 'Master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?' He," that is Jesus, "said unto him, 'What is written in the law? How readest thou?' And he, answering, said, 'Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy strength.' And he," that is Jesus, "said unto him, 'Thou hast answered right. This do, and thou shalt live.'" You know, friends, I think God meant more than just live and exist. There where he said, "This do and thou shalt live," he meant to live and live abundantly. To live with joy, to live with contentment, to live in a happy state of wondrous admiration of God and total fulfillment. So again, what is the great commandment that was given here? Yes, it was written in the law, but I believe it's written on the heart of every Christian today. It is that we should love God with all our heart, with all our soul, with all our strength. That's a powerful kind of love. You know, I believe that's why that Jesus also told us that when a man takes a woman to be his wife, the two become one flesh. And he says that the man is supposed to love the woman and care for the woman as Christ cares for us as his children. Think about that. I have no idea how a husband could abuse his wife if he really were a Christian and he truly had the love of God. You see, if God loves you, then how can you not love other people? A lot of people believe also that Christians are haters. We're bigots. That's the way the world stereotypes the Christians. And if you were a hater, you couldn't be a Christian, but if you were a hater, you would be a miserable person indeed. Was Jesus a hater? Of course not. Were the apostles haters? Absolutely. The answer is no. Absolutely not. And of course, this is what the devil wants people to believe. That Christians, because they believe exclusively in Jesus as Lord, and will accept no other false god or goddess, we will accept no other set of scriptures except the Holy Bible. They say, "Oh, you detestable haters." Even the early Christians were put to death, tormented, tortured for their faith. Why? Because the Roman Empire said that they were haters of man. You too will be called haters of men. I've been called anti-Semitic because I preach the Jews need Jesus. If you preach the truth about any nation, the people that are of that nation will hate you. Some people want to know if I'm patriotic. After all, I've exposed things that are happening here in America. What a silly question. Of course I'm patriotic. I love this country greatly. But my love for America does not exceed my love of righteousness and my love of God. That comes first. Country is a pale and distant second. Patriotism is not something to cloak myself in. I want to cloak myself in God's Word. Patriotism comes in a distant second to God, always. Does that mean you're any less an American patriot? Absolutely not. I think loving God will make you a greater patriot. You see, there's enough love to go around. Love is inexhaustible. Love seems to grow and never stop growing, always increasing, just as does faith. You can't have too much faith. You can't have too much love. You know, if a person came to you and wanted to know who or what God is, probably the best definition you can give him is given in the Gospel of John. Did you know that John says God is love? How would you like to have that definition by your name? Harry is love. Joan is love. Kimberly is love. Larry is love. What a wonderful way to describe a person. And I think it's a wonderful way to describe God. And it's a wonderful way to act toward God, to love God Almighty. I'll tell you something, my friends, if you'll love God as much as you fear God, you'll be amazed at how successful you will be in life. Because I believe the love of God will catapult you to the top of any realm or endeavor in human existence. A lot of people say, Tex, you expose things. You're judgmental. You're a mean person. You have no love in you. I must tell you, when they say those things, it really does hurt. It hurts, one, because it's not true of the Christian. It hurts also because I know that I'm obeying the Word of God and exposing evil things in the world. If you hate not the evil, do you really love God? I doubt it. I believe the man or woman who loves God will oppose and hate the evil with all of their strength, with all of their heart, with all of their soul. How can you love God and embrace evil? How can you love the light but cherish the darkness? So, God gives this great word called love to us in His Bible. And I believe Christians are the greatest lovers of all time. You know, there's all those jokes about which nation has the greatest lovers, the French or the Americans or whatever. Well, that's all talking about carnal love. I'm talking about real love. True love. I tell you, our society is so debased today that we really don't know what love is. We call sexual desire making love or wanting to make love. That's ridiculous. Love is more pure. Love is more righteous. Love is more single-minded in its devotion. Love is more protective. Love is more caring. And God is love, said John. And I suppose that's really the very ultimate. Well, there's another word that we want to go to now. And that would be our sixth word in our sevenfold plan of success. And that word would be obey. It's important to praise God, to thank God, to fear God, to trust God, to love God. But we must obey. I believe the person who says, I love God, and then obeys not His commandments, is a liar. He has not the love of God in him. Let me read to you from 1 Samuel chapter 15, verses 22-23. And we read, And Samuel said, Hath the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams. For rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. Let me tell you, friends, in that paragraph of Scripture, there is much to ponder. A lot of people think about how much they've given to God. They say, I've given so much to my church. I've sacrificed so much. I went to a church, this is the truth, about 12 years ago, I believe it was, quite a large church, fairly prosperous. And the pastor was having a big building drive. And he got up and he asked for money from all the people there. And it seemed like he was using a lot of con artist psychological mumbo-jumbo techniques to get their money for this big building project of the church. And he told the people, give sacrificially. You know, give more than you can even really afford. and God will bless you if you give to the church. And I'm sure many people did. And right after the pastor left, he says, and now Deacon so-and-so, or Brother so-and-so, who's one of the deacons in the church there, is going to come up and tell you about our planned ski trip to Aspen, Colorado. And then the deacon got up and he told them it was, you know, for the very low price of $2,800 or something, they would spend so many days in the beautiful snow mountains of the Rockies in Aspen, Colorado. And please sign up, you know, at the vestibule of the church there if you'd like to go on this fantastic trip. And I thought about the pastor's words. He said, give sacrificially. So you can either spend your money in that church on a ski trip to Aspen, or you can give sacrificially, as it's called, to the building program. It seemed a little bit, I don't know, would you call it hypocritical? Would you call it confused? Not that people can't have fun. Yes, even snow skiing. I don't have any problem with that. It just seemed like a sort of out-of-place thing at church, especially right after the pastor had talked about giving sacrificially. And you know, what was really bad about it was that Wanda and I knew some people in that church. We actually knew a number of people in that church who were very poor, desperately poor. They had little enough money to buy food and pay their rent and utilities. And they were giving to that building fund because they believed the pastor. I wonder how they felt when next the prosperous deacon got up and says, we're going to go on a skiing trip. And the pastor and his wife were going to go to. I wonder how much money was spent on the ski trip that Sunday versus giving to the church. I don't know. But I do know this. Many people believe that what they give will put them over with God. But that's not so. God wants you to obey. Obey contrary to what most prosperity preachers say. Obedience is more important than how much money you put in the plate or send to some televangelist. Obeying God is more important than you're sending love gifts to Babylon Church, I might add, as much as we need your help. Obeying the voice of the Lord. See, the Lord has delight in that. That's what it says here. The Lord may have some delight in burnt offerings and sacrifice, but not as much as in obeying the voice of the Lord. Think of the poor Jews. I don't mean poor in terms of economics. I mean spiritually destitute. How they believed that they could disobey Jesus Christ, who was their Messiah, and call for him to be crucified in disobedience to God. That's what it was, disobedience to God. But then they could give their offerings and sacrifices at the temple. I don't believe God would take that at all. And that's why he destroyed the great temple of Herod in Jerusalem. Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams. Now, let me tell you something. For Christians and anyone who rebels against God, he has a message for you. Rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft. Isn't that strong? You say, well, I don't have anything to do with witchcraft. You could be in rebellion. You know, I've met people who are angry at God for something that happened in their life. They've told me, I'm angry at God. Look what he caused to happen. I've lost my job. I lost money in the stock market. My wife died. My mother died. My next of kin has dreaded cancer. I'm angry at God. Now, I've talked to psychologists. And they said, this is okay. This is normal. This is perfect. This is just part of the process of healing. Garbage. That's garbage. That is rebellion, my friends. We're supposed to give thanks to God. We're supposed to trust God. We're to love God. All of those things I told you about. Fear God. Praise God. Love God in all things, not just when the good things happen to you, my friend. And ask God, okay, this bad thing has happened to me. What do you want me to do next? I will obey you. You know, for every person who had bad things come to his life, go read the book of Job a couple of times. You'll learn something about obedience. And you know what? Your life will be blessed. Job was more blessed than his tormentors, even as he lay there amidst squalor and pain and misery. What a statement. And the Apostle Paul was more content in his prison cell, in that damp, in that cold, serving God and obeying God, than 1,000 kings throughout the Roman Empire. In fact, Paul said that himself. He wrote a letter and he said, "Would you please send me some of my books and a cloak, because it's cold here." He could have asked for all kinds of gifts and treasures, but that's what he asked for, the Apostle Paul. And he said, "Whatever state I find myself in, I am content." Well, obey. We've covered 6 of 7. And next week we're going to cover some more as we continue our series, How to Succeed in Life Beyond Your Wildest Dreams. This is Pastor Tex Morris. May God richly bless you. Tune in next week to Bible Home Church.
If you're thirsty and dry, look to the sky. It's beginning to rain.
You've been listening to Pastor Tex Morris and Bible Home Church. Please join with us in worship next week as we continue to honor the remarkable Word of God.